You're listening to the Intuitive Souls podcast. I am your host, Tara Caruso, and this podcast is designed to educate, inspire, and enlighten. Let's wake up together. Hey guys, welcome to the Intuitive Souls podcast. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. Super excited that you're here. If you are an OG and you keep on coming back and keep on growing and learning and expanding and meditating, welcome. I'm glad you're here. I'm so fucking proud of you. I am so happy that you are listening and you are taking all of these conversations, these tools, these tips, and bringing them into your life to just make a magical life for yourself, man. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your support. You make this so easy for me, and you make it so I get to do the thing that feeds my soul, and I am just eternally grateful for each and every one of you. If this podcast is helping you, if it's giving you the tools, the tips, the conversations that you need to hear, if you can take a minute and head on over to iTunes and write a review, those reviews allow me to get this podcast to the ears that need to hear it. But before you go ahead and click submit, make sure you take a picture or a snapshot or whatever we want to call it and send it to me at hello@ericarusso.co, no M. And I'm going to send you my soul alignment activation for free just as a thank you because it really does help. Now, in this episode, this one's going to be a little special, guys. I mean, every episode is special, but this one's going to be a little extra special because I'm going to share with you an excerpt from a book that I wrote, believe it or not. Now, if you know me personally, you will know that one of my big goals is to write a book. And this book that I'm going to be reading to you guys or sharing with you guys is something that I started writing 2 years ago, actually right before I started this podcast, because I just knew that I had this information within me and it just had to get out, right? You know, when you just know something, you know, you can help somebody with the things that you have learned and you just have to do it. Well, I did it. And I wrote a couple of chapters and I tried to get it published and it was just like a no bueno kind of thing. So it has been sitting in my laptop for 2 years and it's time that these words are shared because I think that they're pretty powerful and I think that they can help us. And I think that it needs to just be shared regardless of what form it's in. So if you are like a publisher or if you know a book agent who's interested in new age or spiritual authors, have them listen to the podcast. You know, I'm trying to manifest that shit, but let's just dive right in. Now, this is a chapter that I like to call Who Are You, right? This is the first chapter that I wrote. Ew, it's like, I'm like sitting here and it's like, oh, this is weird. This is weird because nobody has heard these words besides myself. So me doing this and putting it up on the podcast, it's like, all right, this is new, but I'm sitting here, I'm doing it with the resistance here, I am being vulnerable, and I'm just going to share this. Now, when I read this before her, I realized that a lot of this is channeled work. Like, some of this is just so profound that I'm just like, this didn't come from me. This came from something much greater than my monkey mind can ever come up with. So I'm just going to read. I'm just going to let it flow. And I hope that this helps you connect some dots. I hope that these words help you. If it does, please let me know. Let me know on Instagram. Let me know on TikTok, wherever you know where, you know, wherever I hang out. I would love to hear your words. I would love to hear your feedback because, you know, who knows? Maybe these words are shit and that's why I never got a publishing deal. But let's just dive right in. So again, chapter one, Who Are You? I have the quote, "It's not who you are that holds you back. It's who you think you are not." We are a part of a human consciousness that relies solely on labels. We use these labels to organize and efficiently place ourselves into categories, male or female, rich or poor, fat or thin. These labels have not only put us in categories to help decide how to categorize an individual, but they have diminished our values as souls and our potential for absolute greatness. When we use the system of judgment to help create labels for another individual, we are becoming more detached to the true essence of infinite source. The infinite source is what many refer to as God or Holy Spirit. When we allow our ego to tell us who we are, who we should be, and form a reality within the constricting walls of the ego, we are pulling farther away from the divine nature of your being. The truth is, we are everything and we are nothing. Each and every one of us is cut from the same tree. We are all one of human consciousness. We derive from source. If I were to ask you who you are, would you be able to answer it without using a label? This book is meant to help you connect to your soul and to allow it to guide you to a place of pure joy and contentment. As a collective, we have been searching for the same answers. Why are we here? What is our purpose? What are we meant to do? We are all Dorothy's embarking on our own journey in the Land of Oz, trying to find our way home. During our journey, we will find people and events that teach us gratitude, courage, and wisdom. We will battle and overcome hardships. There will be times where we will need to rest, times where we will fall short, and times where we are going to want to give up. But through it all, we will always find our way home. Like Dorothy, we have the answers to all of our questions within us. Through the whole process, we just need to realize it. Before you read further into this book, you must understand and accept that we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Our lives are not a scrapbook collection of meaningful and heartfelt experiences that we deem to be spiritual. Our entire life, from birth to death and beyond, is the spiritual experience. The lessons we learn, the people we meet, the problems we encounter, the challenges we face are all central parts in the soul's journey home. Have you taken the time to look at your life? Look at the obstacles you faced, the people in your life, the intense highs and the low lows. Do you see synchronicity or a harmonious stream that connects you with everything and everyone? Have you grown up in a family that doesn't understand you? Have you experienced trouble attracting a life partner? Has depression and anxiety plagued your life? Have you been a victim of narcissistic abuse or any kind of abuse? These experiences are telling you something. They are put on your path for you to overcome and master. Whatever circumstances and obstacles that you are facing at this very moment, know that they are here to teach you, not to break you. Even the most catastrophic events a person can go through, like the loss of a child, rape, hunger, war, these lessons are not meant to break you. They are meant to teach you and bring you closer to your higher self and to God. You are a beautiful, strong, and intelligent being of light. You are meant to inspire and create and love. Holding on to darkness will never bring you to the light. You are a soul. I am a soul. And we're on this journey together. Last summer, I spent a Saturday in a full-day meditation retreat in Reading, Connecticut. I was surrounded by other spiritual beings as we sat in this beautiful room with open wooden floors and beams that led up to a cathedral ceiling. A beautiful Buddha statue stood in the front and set the tone for the peaceful oasis. After the first day, a gong was hit to symbolize it was time to break for lunch. One of the monks facilitated the retreat quietly spoke to us.
His volume was so calm and peaceful, it was hard to hear what he was saying. I moved in closer to be able to hear his wisdom. In his gentle tone, he stated, "It is important to find time to be with one's soul." That one simple sentence had such a powerful impact on me. During lunch, I sat in the garden and thought about the monk's words. I thought about how much time and effort I wasted into creating labels for myself, when all the while, I should have been searching for my soul. As I sat cross-legged on a wooden bench in the middle of the serene garden, I focused my attention on this one question. How do I get to know my soul? I was already well acquainted with who Erica was. I knew she was female with hazel eyes, a curious mind. I knew that I was strong and I had a very sensitive side. I knew that I believed laughter was the best medicine and that karma was real. I knew my quirks. I knew the things that brought me joy. And I knew the things that upsetted me. I was an expert of who my ego told me I was, but a complete novice of who I was as a soul. I decided that the later half of the meditation retreat, I would focus my efforts on finding some answers as to which I was at a soul level. As the afternoon meditation session began, I sat comfortable on a meditation pillow, my legs crossed and my hands upon my knees, with my palms facing outward to allow the energy of the universe to envelop through me. As I silenced my mind, I asked myself, who am I as a soul? I captured a vision of a large tree in my mind's eye. The tree was powerful, steady, and strong. I observed this tree to find the meaning of it, to understand why this vision of a tree was coming into my mind as I asked the question of whom I was at a soul level. In my deep, peaceful silence, I watched the tree roots dig down as they reached the center of the earth. I watched the vision unfold in curiosity, trying to understand exactly what spirit was trying to teach me. Suddenly, the one tree turned into two, then turned into three. The three trees then turned into a small cluster of trees that turned into an endless forest. The collection of trees stood tall, with roots that were strong and sturdy. What does this mean? I asked myself. I suddenly had a clear knowing of the meaning of the message Spirit was giving me. Our souls, or what some people call our higher selves, are vast beings of light. Our experiences, our wisdom, our collective consciousness is like those of trees in a forest. Our souls are holding the wisdom of the questions we ask. When we take the time to build a connection to our souls, we are establishing a connection to those like the root of the tree. Some trees are not aware of their roots, but they are still there. They are still required for the tree to exist in nature. Everyone has a soul, whether they are aware of it or not. It is up to us to find out. Through my own personal experience, the realization that I am a soul incarnated to live a human experience has allowed me to understand the obstacles and lessons that I come to experience in this lifetime. In other words, it has made my life a hell of a lot easier. How you find your soul does not matter. Some will travel to far off places. Others will pray and strengthen their connection to God. Others are going to hit rock bottom in order to find their soul to flourish. Sometimes the simple knowledge of knowing you are a soul is enough for one to embrace the reality of it. Whatever path you decide to take, whatever lessons come along the way, embrace them. Understand that these lessons are not meant to break you, but to teach you. Know thyself. Benjamin Franklin once said, "There are three things extremely hard: steel, a diamond, and to know oneself." We think we are the labels we hold, but we aren't. We are so much more than that. I believe it is important to understand that we are all a part of a much greater force that is unseen to the eye. This life, this personality, This person that you are is just a drop in the ocean. We have lived many, many lives, learned many lessons, and have overcome many obstacles. We limit ourselves to the smallest portion of what we can accomplish. I can't work out. I don't have the time. I can't get the job. I'm not qualified. I can't date that person. They are out of my league. The truth is, our potential is far greater than we give ourselves credit for. If you stay within the egoic mind with labels, negativity, and fear, you are limiting your potential to just that. When you broaden your horizon and expand your consciousness, you allow more positivity to come in. The ego creates barriers within our human experience that only allow us to go so far. It is built like a safety net. Some may say the safety net is required, and that is true for someone who wants to stay within the confines of it. But for those who want to fly, the safety net is a trapping mechanism that keeps you from manifesting your highest potential. You did not purchase this book to stay within the confines of your ego. You obtained this book because you know there is a better, happier, more joyous life to be living, a life enchanted. What exactly is the ego? As much as I love Queen Bee and her hit single Ego, she got the concept wrong. The definition of ego is not that. When we think of ego, we think of arrogance. We think of being conceited. This is just an incredibly small portion of what the ego is. The ego is a collection of ideas we carry around. I am what I have. I am what I do. I am my reputation. I am separate from everybody else. I am separate from God. Ego is the aspects of yourself that you consider to be you. A perfect example of this is a brief self-inquiry assessment. Who are you? I'm Erica. Who is Erica? Erica is a female. She is a wife and she is a mother. Did Erica exist before she became a wife and a mother? Well, yes, I did. So then, who were you before you were a wife and a mother? I was Erica. Who is Erica? She is me. Who is me? I'm Erica. I am me. Well, that cannot be, because I am me too. Are we both me? Well, you are me for you, and I am me for me. Who is me? I am me. Well, I am me too. But you are not me. Yes, I am. I am me. But if you are me, then who am I? Exactly. Every single answer to those questions was answered from an ego standpoint. We have been programmed to listen to our ego. Every single person has some form of an ego, some more than others. The people who are more attached to one or more of the size of these ideas can be considered an egomaniac. If we were to collect 5 random people from the street and ask them to introduce themselves, their answers would look like this. I am John. I am 35. I work in corporate America. I drive a BMW. I watch football and I go to the gym 5 days a week. I am Kayla. I am 22. I am a college student. I am a painter. I am a daughter. I am a friend. I practice yoga. I am Edward. I am a U.S. Army veteran. I am 76. I am a husband and a grandfather. I play chess at the park every single day. I am Jen. I am a stay-at-home mom of 2. I live in a townhome with my family. I am a runner, and in my spare time, I like to read. I am Alice. I volunteer at the local Humane Society. I am 68 years old, and I love visiting my grandchildren on the weekends. Every single person introduced themselves with ideas they carry around within their ego. This does not mean they are bad people. It just goes to show that ego is a major role in everyone's life. If you are at a job interview or an AA meeting or a blind date, we are programmed to answer questions about ourselves by how we define ourselves. Ego is powerful and it will be with us until we cross over or we become enlightened. Simply being aware of this is all you need to be able to shift your thought patterns and mind state to a more positive place. Potential to greatness. I'm sure you've heard that as humans, we are only using like 5 to 10% of our brain capacity. Insane, right? With everything we have learned and processed throughout our time in the education system, all of the cognitive abilities we have been taught to do, all of the mindless chatter that is constantly running through our minds all the time, we are still only functioning at a 5% brain capacity. Now let's imagine if we can grow that 5 to 15%. At 15% brain power, we have to be considered geniuses, right? If you have an average IQ using 5% brain function, then you must have the capacity of holding much more knowledge if you are at 15%. Let's imagine our brain capacity jumps to 50%. At 50%, we would most likely be able to find the cure for cancer. We could help save the rainforest and the world hunger crisis. And remember, that is only at 50%. Now let's imagine what it would be like if only 5% of the world's population was using the full 100% capacity of our minds. This 5% of the total population have the capability of solving the problems we face in the world today. That 5% can save the world. Limiting belief systems. Just like we only use 5% of our minds, when we use labels to define us, we are putting ourselves at that 5% capacity level. We are diminishing our potential. We as human beings are far more capable than we give ourselves credit for. Our potential is beyond our wildest dreams. Once you realize this, your perception of your own reality will shift. I'm not qualified for that job. I'm not capable of losing the weight. I don't have the time to be in a romantic relationship. I'm too busy. I can't afford it. Every single one of those statements is ego-driven. They are coming from the collection of ideas that we carry around. When you think of the ego, think of the Looney Tunes cartoon with Bugs Bunny where he has the angel on one shoulder who guides into the positive and the devil on the other, who is negative and belittles the ideas Bugs Bunny has. The devil can be looked at like the ego. Intuition is the angel. Every time I notice my ego taking and building upon it, I get a quick flash of the devil on my shoulder, and it quickly brings me back to the moment. The percentage of ego versus intuition varies from one person to another. Until we recognize it, all of us are far more controlled by our egos. We are the stories we tell ourselves. If you tell yourself you cannot lose the weight, you're not going to lose the weight. If you tell yourself you have anxiety, you will have anxiety. This touches on the concept of the law of attraction, which I will explain in another chapter. I am here to tell you, you do have the potential for greatness. You are capable of obtaining the things you desire. It's just getting yourself out of your own conscious mind long enough to realize it. The first thing you need to do is simple. Stop allowing that one negative thought turn into the story you tell yourself. I want to tell you about my friend Mike. Growing up, Mike was a rising star in our school athletic system. He was popular, an incredible athlete, and both coaches and teachers as well as his peers knew from a young age that he had the potential to be a professional athlete.
Mike grew up in an area in our town that didn't exactly pop out the best and the brightest. The neighborhood included small summer homes around a lake that were converted into full-year residences. The reputation of his neighborhood plagued every single person who lived in it. They were labeled the Lakers. The Lakers grew up very fast, resulting in drinking and smoking at very young ages. Soon after the drinking and smoking came the drugs. It was hard for Mike to have the potential he had with the label of being a Laker. At 16 years old, Mike was the starting pitcher of our varsity baseball team and clocking his speedball at 96 miles an hour. There were college scouts coming to varsity baseball games to watch him. He was truly a rising star. After graduating, even with the clout he had developed, Mike never went to college. He kept on telling himself that he would never get picked up by a minor or major baseball league. It was easier for him to find a job and get to work. His coaches were devastated by his decision not to pursue a college degree or try out for the minor leagues. In fact, the whole graduating class was shaking our heads at the situation. Mike now works for a chain lawn service, distributing treatments to customers' lawns and living in a one-story modest home with his wife and daughter. Mike's story is a perfect example of how powerful our belief systems are. As Buddha stated, what you think, you become. What you feel, you attract. What you imagine, you create. Learning to separate the stories we tell ourselves from the potential we have as beings of energy is the first step into creating a more positive life. If you keep on allowing the stories you tell yourself to be your reality, then that is going to be your reality. The stories you tell yourself. Learn to separate yourself from your ego. We must understand that the ego will always be present, but its power can be diminished. Taking your power back. Once you decide that your worst enemy is yourself, you start to understand just how powerful your negative thoughts can be on your perception of yourself and in your overall life. How do we take our power back? How do we stop allowing the ego to control our lives? The answer is simple. We become the observer. Let's think of it this way. There is a car. The car is you. It doesn't matter what kind of car it is. It can be whatever type of car you want it to be. In this car, there is a driver and a passenger. The driver spends his energy driving the vehicle, being fully aware of traffic signs and the other cars around him, construction on the road, the traffic. The driver being the responsible party is going to get annoyed. They are going to feel the frustration of having to deal with reckless drivers, traffic, construction, checkpoints. Let's label these scenarios as thoughts. It doesn't matter if they are positive or negative. The driver of the vehicle is going to have a front row seat to everything happening around the vehicle. When there is a traffic jam, they are going to be the ones feeling the disappointment and the agitation. If they get a ticket from a police officer, they are the ones that feel the negative emotion with that. We feel the thoughts we think. Now, let us take a different approach to this. Let's say we take ourselves out of the driver's seat and into the passenger side. We are still in the same vehicle. We still have the same destination. But instead of being the driver, we become the observer. As the observer, we are able to see totally different perspectives of the situation. We are able to observe the instances and obstacles along the car ride without situations taking a toll on our mental state. If there is traffic, we might become irritated, but we can quickly snap out of that negative stream of thought because instead of living our thoughts, we are simply observing them. When we become the observer, we are able to consciously notice any positive or negative spikes in our mental and emotional state. We can understand exactly what our triggers are And instead of allowing these triggers to bring you on a negative spiral, we, the observer, have the power to let go of any negative feelings or thoughts that come into our conscious mind. Through my life, I never considered myself an anxious person. I never had crippling anxiety to the point where my life had to be put on hold. Of course, being a human being, I did encounter times within my life when I became affected by situations and circumstances where anxiety would pop its nasty little head in. And that's not fun. It was not until I got out of the driver's seat of my mind and placed myself into the passenger seat that I had a front row view of just how much worry and anxiety were key players in my everyday life. The first day I became the passenger of my life was the day I was able to fully witness my thought patterns and their effects and how they brought no value to my life. I observed one negative thought turn into two negative thoughts, then to three. Then it turned into a morning filled with a downward negative thought spiral. I quickly noticed how easy just one negative thought could ruin one day. Could you imagine the power that all your negative thoughts combined can have on your life? So, yeah, that's just an excerpt from my unpublished secret book. And God, I haven't, guys, like, no joke, I haven't read this book in like 2 years. 2 years. So me reading these out loud, I was like, wow, like that, I jam. You know what I mean? Like, holy shit. I'm just here like, God, I definitely, that is some channeled shit right there. So if you guys liked this, I have a couple of more chapters from this book that was never published. If you like these, if you want to hear more, please let me know. Please tag me in your Insta stories or tag me anywhere, comment somewhere if you want me to read other excerpts, because I have them. They're just hanging out on my laptop. So that's it for today, guys. You know I love you. I will see you soon.